Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases, tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
Keep it locked on Stockton Mortgage Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Here's Dan and Mike.
And it makes
Johnny Cash.
Johnny Cash. The other day that I started to watch the TV, the movie about Johnny Cash, and it was pretty cool.
Do you watch Yellowstone?
Oh yeah, The new one.
I saw last night a promo for.
Oh really?
Okay. Starts first week in November. I want to say November 7th. And they start with a two-hour special.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah,
so I like that. And they might not have quite as many commercials as what was the movie about Johnny Cash? Golly, it was
The Man in Black.
No. Anyway.
Walk the Line.
Walk the Line, yeah. It was on one of the off channels.
Was that on the, off the top of your head?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good movie.
Yeah, well, it is. I was watching it. But what hacked me off, as usual, you know, you'd have a half an hour of commercials. Then you'd have 15 minutes of a movie. And then you go back. I mean, it was crazy.
Let me tell you what you do, Mr. Pratt.
Oh, you hit the mute button is what
I do. No, what you do is you tape it.
Yeah, okay.
And then especially because, like we've said before, you watch those movies on TV, and they'll let you get into it. The first segment will be about 20 minutes before they hit you with the first commercial. Then the second segment might be 15. By the time you get to the end of the movie segments are shorter than the commercial segments.
Yeah, you got 5 minutes.
So all you got to do is tape it, and then next day watch it and fast forward through all that.
There you go. That's what I'm. I watch the basketball games that way.
That way.
I tape all those games that we're playing when I'm doing the games. I try to tape them all that I can and watch it. And I'll tape some of the teams that we're not playing just to be able to talk to you about college basketball.
There you go.
But I want to talk to you about our picks. But first of all,
we don't want to talk about the picks. Process has got them. I know this isn't going to be fun. This isn't going to be pretty.
We're going to talk about something that's kind of neat before we do that.
Okay.
Tupelo-based Blue Delta Jeans have signed a deal with name, image, and likeness with the Ole Miss football roster.
Now, you told me you've been by this store.
Yeah.
It's in Oxford, right?
Oxford's got a little, you remember Oxford, a little square. You know, they
just
developed
like,
it.
Just like most southern towns, the courthouse is in the middle and,
now they've
and
developed
the square
it.
Around it.
When we walked up there from the old Holiday Inn many years ago, there was nothing but junk. But now it's a restaurant place. But they have a little storefront there, this Blue Delta Jeans. And we went by it, and it looked pretty cool. It was closed that day or wasn't open before or at the time we walked by it. And then I went and Googled it, and Jim Barnhart, our engineer, he also looked into it. And they're tailor-made jeans. They typically cost $450. Now,
for jeans?
Yep. Every player on the team gets a pair if he would be willing to do at least one social media post per month from September this year through January of next year. Okay,
during the football season.
That's the deal. All right, and it's custom, and I think it's kind of interesting how they go about measuring everybody. I can't pull it up here, but you can do it online if you want to buy a pair of jeans online. You can do it online. Or they'll
you just send your measurements in.
Yeah, and they've got a online measurement thing, and I mean, it's really pretty interesting. I hear that the Hollywood people like you, the famous athletes like you, all get these jeans done. You and Process. Well, Process, there he is. He's got these jeans, and but that's a pretty neat deal. Everybody on the team gets one.
That's
all you
nice.
Got to do is do a social
do
post.
Your social post.
Yeah, I mean that's pretty cool.
That's very cool.
Now, you don't forget to pay your taxes on it now, you know?
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah. So you got to pay your taxes, baby.
All right, let's go over the picks. This isn't going to be pretty. Process, where did we start it, I think, with?
UCF and U of L.
Yes.
And both of you all picked UCF -7. Yeah. So that's already
so how'd that work out?
Bad start. Okay. We're off to a bad start. And then secondly, you picked UK and UK. And again,
that didn't work.
Pair of L's.
Why are we? I think we went by 30 on the spread.
Yeah, 30. Yeah. -30.
Okay. Auburn and Penn State was the next one.
Yes. Mike picked Penn State. So he got that one. There's a notch for Mike. And you picked Auburn. Sorry, Dan.
So I'm 0-3.
Yes.
Okay. Next one was Virginia.
And UNC. Mike picked UNC. You picked Virginia.
0-5.
0-5.
Look. His pocketbook just jumped out of his back pocket.
I told you that our listeners should write down this week, write down my picks and go the exact opposite, and you'll hit the mother load. This is why I don't bet sports. I can't pick my nose.
I got the same problem.
Okay, next one was Cincinnati.
And IU. There you go, Dan.
All right, 1-5. What did Mike pick?
He also picked Cincinnati. I just want to give you a little sympathy ding there for you. So you take that in your pocket.
So what's my record now?
You're currently
4-1? 4-2?
No, you're 3-2.
3-2. Okay.
And then Dan is
1-4.
Okay.
All right, next up it was Virginia Tech, and I can't remember who they played. But both you have Virginia Tech.
It was North Carolina, wasn't it?
No, that was Virginia.
Yeah.
Virginia
Tech. The Hokies, I just had to pull up in a sec.
Oh, West Virginia. They play West Virginia.
That's right. Yeah, both of you picked Virginia Tech and lost that one.
Yep.
You had Notre Dame and Purdue. Mike, you picked Notre Dame, and Dan, you picked Purdue. Mike, obviously, you won.
And that was 7.
The Fighting Jeff Broms.
The Fighting Jeff Broms.
Yep.
And then you had...
By the way, he stopped packing his suitcase for Louisville.
Yeah, bad weekend for Jeff Brom and the Louisville people. That's probably dead at least for a couple weeks.
Lordy. Oh,
only a couple weeks, though.
Michigan. 27.5.
Right, so Mike, you picked Northern Illinois at +27.5. Dan, you picked Michigan. And
yes.
Dan, you nailed that one.
Yes, you did.
Yes,
yeah. Yes. Jim Harbaugh, okay, Jim Harbaugh.
Khaki pants.
Here comes another loser for me.
You got Duke and Northwestern. You both picked the Mildcats.
Yeah.
So that's a loss for both of you.
Oh, whoa. Duke beat them?
Yeah.
No, by 7.
By 7, 30-23.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep.
We have Vanderbilt and Stanford. Mike, you picked Vandy. Dan, you picked Stanford at -12. And Dan, you won that one. So college football, let me tally these up here. Dan, you went 3-7.
Yep.
And Mike, you went, man, you went a cold streak at the end here. Mike, you went 4-6.
Well, I thought we picked the Michigan State-Miami game. No?
I don't have that on here.
That was
that was one of those pre-teaser ones.
Yeah, was your. We didn't pick it, but that was your.
Yep.
That was your solid, rock solid pick.
You're right.
And so you are on your rock solid picks. You are
pretty good.
2-1.
Yeah.
You had Fresno and Oregon, and then you just lost. Who was the second week? I can't remember. But you just lost by a few points.
Yeah, I think I took Fresno again. Somebody out west. Yeah. Somebody out west.
Anyway, okay, now let's go to the pros.
All right, let me just tally these all up here real quick. All three of them, I know. It's a lot of math for me. Anyway, the pros, we had the Bengals and the Chicago Bears. And at Bears -2.5, Mike, you picked the Bengals. And Dan, you picked the Bears. Dan, you won that one.
Yes, I did.
What was it, three? Was it three? Field goal?
It was three.
Was it number 2.5 or 3.5?
2.5.
So I took the Bengals.
Right.
And they win by 3.
Right.
They lost.
They lost.
Oh, they lost?
What the hell kind of fan are you? What,
if, no, I'm not a, if it's not the pumpkin heads.
Mike, you took the Bengals. They were minus two and a half, and they lost,
they lost by three.
Oh, so man. You lose.
You got screwed.
I thought they won. Oh,
Kansas City and Baltimore.
You both picked KC at minus 3.5, so that's a loss for both of you.
Cowboys.
And then Chargers, Cowboys. Mike, you picked the Chargers at minus 3.5. Dan, you picked the Cowboys at plus 3.5. So the grand total is, if I'm doing my math right, Dan wins the week.
Oh, yes. Oh, it hurt me. I won the first week. I lose the second. I don't know what I'm going to do here in the third week. Yeah.
But I won the week going 5-8.
Well,
you got to take your wins where they are, man.
That's right. That's right. If you were betting $100 on all your wins and only $25 on your losses, you might be okay. That'd be ahead.
So I think you guys are now tied for the year then, because Mike won by one last week and you won by one this week. So you guys are tied.
This is a big week, man. I'm going to deep dive. I've got to have some W's. I can't let this will continue to beat me like this.
Well, you ought to win because you pick the games we pick.
Well, I'll let you pick the games then.
All right.
Okay, you pick the games.
What did we pay?
I thought last week you picked one for me and I picked one for you. No?
Is that how we win?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's exactly what happened.
All yeah. Right. Okay. Hey, you pick one for me, I pick one for you.
That's the way we'll do it this week.
But I'm going to deep dive, Dan. I'm going to deep dive and come up with some stuff. I'm going to give you some games that will give you heartburn.
Okay, before we leave college football, I want to hear your top 10.
Oh,
because the top tens are, they're always the two that you kind of look at and go by are the coaches poll, which they ought to call the SID poll because that's who makes the picks, and the AP poll. And they're usually pretty similar, but not always. For instance, this week in the AP poll, Kentucky, after that mesmerizing game against Chattanooga, is still 37th in the country in the AP poll. And in the coaches' poll, they're 27th. So that's a difference of 10 spots between the coaches' poll and AP.
So my question to you is this. How do you pick a team and rank a team? Do you pick them on what a poll says that you read on Monday? Do you pick them with the eye test, what you saw over the weekend?
Yeah. I start by looking at our original top 25 and then look and see how those teams have performed.
But what I'm asking you, week to week, weekend to weekend, do you trust your eye test or do you rank them based upon what their record is and who they've played?
No.
You don't care about that?
No.
You don't care who they play.
The eye test.
Eye test. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Your number one team is Georgia.
It was.
Has been from the very beginning.
Exactly.
And my number one is Alabama. Has been from the very beginning.
I have Alabama 2.
I have Georgia 2. So we have the same top two, just reversed.
Oregon, I have at 3.
That's who I have at 3. I think that they might have. Of course, we have to see how the season goes for Oklahoma. But Oregon might have the most impressive win of the season so far going into Ohio State and winning that game.
And won convincingly.
Yes.
It wasn't like, kick a field goal at the end of the game. Right. It was convincingly 14, kicked the Buckeyes' butt. Yeah.
14.
Yeah. So at number 4, you have who?
I have the Hawkeyes of Iowa.
Oh, man. Great minds think together.
Is that who you have?
Yeah.
How about that?
And at 5, you have who?
Oklahoma.
Ooh. I'm going with the whiteout Penn State Nittany Lions.
Ooh.
Yep.
You've got them all the way up to number 5?
I do.
Wow. Okay. 6?
I have the University of Cincinnati Bearcats.
Michael.
Yeah. Well,
Michael.
Well.
I have Clemson.
Oh. Clemson can't score. They. Okay. I have Oklahoma at 7.
Okay, I have Penn State. So we also have Oklahoma and Penn State reversed.
Then at 8, I have Texas A&M. Your boy Jimbo Fisher and his A&M. Quarterback is out. I probably put him up there too.
I have Cincinnati.
Okay. At 9, I have the Gators of Florida.
Ooh. That's who I have.
Okay. Then, a team everybody is kind of overlooking now, Dan, is the Ole Miss Rebels. I have them at 10.
Oh, man, you're drinking the U of L Kool-Aid.
No. They score points.
Blankenbaker thinks that Ole Miss is going to win the SEC.
Oh, please. Oh, please.
Hey, man, Macarell is in the Heisman conversation. I think he's the favorite now.
Yes, he is. Uh-huh. Rattler has struggled.
Yes, he has.
And, of course, the kid from Minnesota, the running back who we liked, he's out.
Yeah.
He was going to be a serious contender.
Yeah.
And ukulele, he can't play.
He's a bummer.
The quarterback for Clemson.
Oh, yeah. His greatest claim to fame now, he's in the Dr. Pepper commercial for football.
Yeah, looking like a waste of money 3 weeks in, but we'll see. They could bounce back.
You know, that's going to happen a lot in this name, image, and likeness. Guys are going to get deals, and people are going to say, what in the hell was I doing giving this guy this deal? Because, you know, I think Puma, if the rumor's true, they're kind of waiting until the season of basketball gets going to see who the stars are going to be. They're holding their money out. So the Blue Jean Company went with the home state.
The whole team.
They're in Tupelo, and they went with the Rebels. So it's going to be interesting. Now,
I'm going to guess, and I have no inside information on this, but I'm going to guess the quarterback for the Clemson team got more than a $450 pair of blue jeans to do the Dr. Pepper commercial.
I think that's a fair guess. So if you're Dr. Pepper, you hope that you had it in installments, and you also had a chance to stop the payments, you know, based on performance. Performance-based.
My 10 is Cincinnati.
Your 10 is Cincinnati. Okay. So where do you have Clemson?
I have Clemson at 6.
Okay. I have Clemson at 11, Ohio State at 12. And I don't know what to make of Ohio State.
And you have Texas A&M in the top 10.
I do. And that's probably – I listened to you and Bobby so much about Jimbo that it's affected my thinking.
I agree.
Yeah, I think it's affected my thinking. But we'll see. You know, yeah. I mean, he's playing without a quarterback.
Now, yesterday, we had a lot of guests on that were participating in the fundraiser down at the Castle and didn't get a chance to talk much about pro football. But, Michael, can you believe how many turnovers there were? I mean, guys are throwing picks like they don't mean anything.
Well, what does that tell you? The quarterback play is marginal in many ways, or – the defense is just that much ahead of the offense. I
don't know if the defense is ahead of the offense, but I think the defenses, especially for these young quarterbacks, I think the defenses are a whole lot better than what they've been facing in college. You know, and in college, there might be one shutdown defensive back, and you just have to stay away from him. Throw it someplace else. You get to the NFL, and everybody's a shutdown defensive back. That window gets real small. And it's just not the young players. I mean, Lawrence had, what, three interceptions?
With the Jags guy. Trevor Lawrence,
And the new superstar from the Jets, he had 4, right?
Yeah, their coach came out and said, you know, I think we're in a good place after 4 interceptions.
Yeah, you know, there's got to be something about the Jets situation, because the kid they let go, who was that?
Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
They traded him to the Panthers, right?
They did.
He's having a pretty good year, isn't he? I threw the first 2 games.
Yeah, I mean, he's so far got to pull up the line. But, yeah, he had a pretty damn good game against the Saints the other night.
Yeah. So maybe it's not the quarterback. Maybe it's the Jets.
Joe Namath sold his soul to win that Super Bowl. And he sold New York's, too.
Sold his soul?
You never heard that?
Well, what does that mean?
Like you sell your soul to the devil. Like you say, if you do this, then the Jets will never win Super Bowl again.
Oh, okay. Because I was thinking differently because, you know, Namath has made a gazillion dollars off that Super Bowl championship.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, that's his whole brand.
But it's not just the young quarterbacks that are doing it. What about Matty Ice in Atlanta? Tom Brady's going nuts. What did he have? Five touchdown passes.
Yeah.
But after he threw five touchdown passes, they're only ahead 35-31. They've only got a 4-point lead. And Ryan turns around and throws two pick sixes in succession.
To the same guy.
It was the same guy?
It was the same guy.
That I didn't know. So, I don't know. The quarterback play so far. Now, there have been a couple of guys that have had really good breakout years this year. Carr's
playing very well.
Carr's playing like the first quarter of the first game against the Raiders. Maybe the first half. He didn't do that much. But then in the fourth quarter, I think I heard this right, Bobby. In the fourth quarter and the overtime, he had like 260 yards passing.
Something around there,
in a quarter and an overtime.
But doesn't he play for the Raiders?
Yes, he does.
Okay. You had him playing for the other team.
Oh, I did? Yeah. I'm sorry.
You traded him. look at my pumpkin heads. Now, they're playing Houston, who's playing Tyrod Taylor. I have no idea who Tyrod Taylor is.
Taylor
started in Buffalo.
Yeah, he started in Buffalo, and he started with the Chargers for a bit last year. Really, if you need a stopgap quarterback, Tyrod Taylor's probably your guy.
But the guy I never heard of was the guy that came in for Taylor when he pulled a hamstring or did something.
Jacoby
Brissett?
No.
Said, I know that name.
Oh, sorry, Davis Mills.
Yeah,
there
Mills.
He is.
Mills. That's Mills right. Came out. I never heard of
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he's undrafted? A rookie. Yeah, no, he was drafted third round out of what does it say? Out of Stanford. An egghead.
Wow. Well, my boy Baker Mayfield. Now, this is kind of interesting. I think he's 19-21. You talk about efficiency. For 213 yards, one TD, and one interception. But if you throw 21 passes and you complete 9 and only get 213 yards, are you dinking and dunking the whole game?
19 out of
20. Okay, but the bottom line is, I don't care.
No, that even makes your point more. Yeah, you're right. You complete 19 passes for 200 yards. I was never very good in math, but I think that's about 10 yards a play. That's a little above average.
Well, it's a dink and dunk. He's dink and dunk. He's not stretching the field any, or he's not making any completion stretching the field, right. Or he'd have more yards.
Right. Yeah, the point is they weren't very impressive against a bad football team.
But the thing they have, a process, I think you'll agree, they have a fellow by the name of Nick Chubb, and he's a powerful runner, and he can get you yards. I mean, he had 11 carries, 95 yards, almost 10 yards a carry, with 10 yards a carry. A running back in the NFL, it works out to be 9 yards a carry.
Right.
How good is that for your team?
That's really good.
Yeah.
Look, you get the push up front, and the Browns are a run first team.
Absolutely.
And that's why they don't have to stretch the field all that much with Baker. Baker just got to go and keep things balanced and not throw the other team, and he's fine. We've said that, for months now.
He has to do is not turn the ball over and make those good commercials.
They look him in the eyes right before every game. They say, Baker, don't screw up. And then they throw him out there.
That's what they say when they talk about a quarterback managing the game?
Yes.
Okay.
And then the Sunday night game was really good.
Oh, that was crazy that game. That was a crazy game.
Who was it? Tom Landry that said, when you score a touchdown, act like you've been there before.
Yeah.
Lamar must not have heard that saying.
Again, you guys really hate the flash. You guys do not care for the flashy receivers and the touchdown dances and all that.
Didn't he do a cartwheel into the end zone?
Yeah.
But
that's hardly acting like you've been there before.
We grew up in very different eras, Dan. Me, I had Terrell Owens and Randy Moss and Chad Johnson, so I'm very much used to this mentality, and I enjoy it.
You like that stuff.
I get a kick out of it. It's stupid, but I get a kick out of it.
I could get a little kick out of it, too, but my man, I draw, and you know this, Dan, when this guy got tackled or scored a touchdown, he just got up, put the ball on the ground, walked back to the
huddle,
and decided, I'll run it again. And he ran it again, didn't say anything, got up, put the ball down, went back to the huddle.
Jim Brown.
Yeah. He was the best, man. Yeah. He just told him, you can't hurt me. I'll get up here, and I'm going to go back.
Let me tell you, back in Jim Brown's day, back in the way that football was played, if somebody did a somersault into the end zone, the next time he got tackled, he's getting up with something broken. I guarantee you. I don't know, it'll be a finger or a nose or something.
What would Sam Huff do to
him? A guy shows you up like that, he's coming out of there with something broken.
Sam Huff would have had an answer for him, right, of the Giants.
Oh, you know, one thing, though, you got to give Baltimore a lot of credit. I heard this stat while I was watching the game. Baltimore has 18 players, or going into that game, they had 18 players on the injured reserve. Kansas City had one.
Yeah.
18-1 lost player.
And the other interesting thing about that game was Kansas City has a whole new offensive line from last year. Yep. They win the championship.
And they still can't run the ball.
They don't win the championship, so they get rid of everybody, bring a whole new crew in, and hopes to beat Tom Brady the next time. But that was pretty interesting.
Well, the interesting thing is they brought in a whole new offensive line because they couldn't protect Mahomes. Tampa Bay put all kinds of pressure on him. And so they change the offensive line. Now they can't get close to Mahomes, but they can't run the ball.
Pass blocking, run blocking, a little different.
Yeah,
a little different.
Absolutely. Read your Stockton before you leave.
I will. By gosh. What would you have in your dream house? The financing may not be as glamorous as a hot tub, a wraparound deck, and even a butler's pantry. I don't have one of those in my house. But it can leave you set up for success or leave you frustrated. The folks at Stockton Mortgage can craft a mortgage that is exactly the right fit for you. Your dream home is just a mortgage away. Go to Stockton.com. What they say at Stockton is true. Find your home. They'll take care of the rest. NMLS number 8259, equal housing lender.
You're locked on Stockton Mortgage Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Dan and Mike.
And welcome back to Sports Talk with Bobby and Dan Issel. Mike Pratt has left the building. Was that Willie? Willie Nelson.
Yes, sir.
Willie Nelson. So, process, in the interest of giving equal time, we had some clips from Coach Cohn talking about his calls in the game against Chattanooga. Let's hear from Coach Satterfield talking about their big win. I think the first one is he's talking about the interception that Alderman had.
He's been a guy who's really all camp. Alderman, you know, kind of turned the coach's head because he's smart. I mean, he like, man, this guy knows exactly what we're saying. We don't have to tell him over and over and over. And he was a good tackler coming out of high school, you know, really kind of caught our attention with that. And then when he got here, he's a mature freshman. And, you know, I think with that, you know, the coaches get a lot of confidence in him, you know. And then, you know, Monty went out. He got dinged on a play right before that. And so, you know, Coach D. Nick put in Alderman, and he was in the right place at the right time. You know, if you go back and watch the film, the ball was a little bit behind, but the receiver probably still should have caught it. You know, it kind of bounced off of him and then right in Alderman, and then he knew what to do with it when he caught it. You know, it was a huge play. He got a couple good blocks down the sideline and then, you know, took it all the way to the house. But, yeah, he's certainly going to be in the mix, you know, to get some more playing time. I mean, I think he's obviously a good football player and, you know, a very heady player.
That's a great point because I thought the ball should have been caught, and it just kind of –
kind of slipped through his hands, and Alderman was in the right place at the right time.
Right. I mean, I don't know who to blame there more, Dylan Gabriel or the receiver, because that ball was a rocket for only going about 5 to 7 yards. I mean, he threw that thing way too hard. So it's a little bit on the quarterback in my mind.
Yeah, yeah. Mike seems to think that they should have been running the ball in that situation, but they were a little far out, weren't they?
They were, but they had three timeouts. I feel like they should have run it. I think they should have, you know, tried to get more positioning towards, you know, either whatever hash it was, or, and they've been running really well all game. Yeah. So I was like, you hand it off to the hot hand. You don't even risk something like this happening unless your back's against the wall, you've got to gain the yards, and you have just one timeout. In that situation, you absolutely should run the ball.
Because the game's tied, right?
Right.
You've got the ball. The game's tied. There's under a minute to play.
Right.
The worst you should ever come out of that situation is overtime.
Right. With three. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they UCF just botched the entire thing. It's on Gabriel for throwing too hard, on the receiver for not catching it, on the coaching staff, you know, for not running the ball when they absolutely should have run the ball. And then I love that Alderman, he was out of position on that play, too. He just, I called the, they don't like it on the Dina show. I called the divine interception because it felt like God, you know, came down and helped him out. That, because his first play, out of position, looks like a deer in the headlights. Right to him.
And another clip that we have from Coach Satterfield is the offensive line has been that was supposed to be one of their strong suits, was the offensive right. line, and they've kind of got pushed around in the first two games, but Coach Satterfield thought they did a little better in this game.
Thought that Hudson, you know, he played the whole game, he played really good. You know, Trevor's got to be better at tackle, you know, gave up some couple pressures there, and you know, so I do think I want Trevor to play, but I do think Gonzalez has got to play as well because he's so solid, you know, and he's very smart. So, you know, in a perfect world, you put five guys out there and let them go. But I also think that we need to continue to develop and get these guys better and better. So the only way to do that is play them, you know. And as we go in the game, we're looking to say, all right, who's playing the best, and that's the one who's going to get the most snaps, you know. So, but yeah, I thought they did solid for the most part there. You know, we have these three games. We've done a much better job in less tackles for loss this year and less sacks. You know, so those guys have done a pretty good job with that.
Yeah, they better be do a pretty good job because you know that's usually the rock of any good football team.
Exactly.
They've got an offensive line.
I mean, we talked about, you know, us being in different generations of ideologies towards celebrating. I still have the old school mentality of games are won in the trenches. I heavily believe that. That is one of my fundamental core beliefs of football. And look, we were sold the entire offseason that this offensive line was going to be
right.
you know improved, and
right.
it looks like they're improving as the games go, even though, you know, EKU and UCF are not quite as good as Ole Miss seems to be. But they're still not getting a ton of push up front. And the fact that you're having to shuffle this far into the season tells me that you just kind of sold me a bill of goods, that you really weren't as sure about the offensive line as you claim to have been. Or maybe the defensive line you're practicing against just isn't that good.
That's a good point. That's a great point. Maybe that's why they look so good in practice.
Exactly. Iron sharpens iron.
I think we've got one more clip. He talks about the Florida State quarterback situation.
Yes.
Travis is a great runner. You know, we saw that last year when he was here, ran around here, made some big-time plays. So far this year, that's a strength of our offense, running the football. That's probably their strength is the rushing game. They have two really good running backs. They can run. And he's in there. He get added that dimension with the Q runs. And then Milton gets in, and, you know, he's that savvy passer that they don't want to run as much. And so, yeah, we're going to have to, you know, really you almost have, I won't say two different game plans, but it's two different thought processes depending on who the quarterback is. And then, you know, of course, Chubb is there as well. He hadn't played this year, but he's, you know, I saw him on the sideline just, you know, watching the TV copy. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, how they're going to, I would assume they're going to continue to rotate. They've been doing that all year. You know, we'll have to make the calls of just whoever's going to be in the game. You know, Travis went out of the game and didn't come back in. I'm not sure if he's the injury there or not, but we'll anticipate all of them being ready to go and having a good game plan for each one that's in there.
Well, hopefully U of L go down to Tallahassee and maybe get a couple of breaks like they did,
right.
like they did in this game and come back 3-1, which
I mean, even the U of L detractors, you know, they didn't think they'd be any worse than that.
No, I mean, it seems like Florida State's a bit of a dumpster fire. I would say there's a little bit of a positive going into this game in terms of, you know, Jordan Travis is a dynamic runner. He's a great athlete. And, you know, Dylan Gabriel last week wasn't able to do a ton against U of L. I mean, the UCF offense moved well, but Dylan Gabriel wasn't an absolute killer like he usually has been in the past, you know, with his legs being such a big part of his game. They contained him well. So I would at least take that positive into this game if Jordan Travis plays. Now, I do like how Satterfield mentioned, you know, Chubba Purdy, who notoriously snubbed U of L, you know, a couple years ago, right, and didn't decide to cut. Oh, yeah, Chubba, he's there. He hasn't played, but, you know, he's hanging out. I see Chubba over there. I like a little bit of gamesmanship there out of Coach Sat.
And, of course, Gabriel won't be playing for a while. He broke his collarbone on that return.
No, that dude had the worst minute of game time ever. I mean, you throw a horrendous interception when you're knocking on the door to win the game, and then you go and break your freaking clavicle in the next play.
Process, I'm sure you saw that Duke signed Derek Lively yesterday, or got a commitment from him.
Yes.
And he is... he was the number two prospect in the country that hadn't committed yet. And that's Coach John Shire's third five-star pick. And so it got me to thinking about, of course, he'll be taking over for Coach K,
right,
next year. And it got me to thinking about legendary college basketball coaches and the people that have followed them and what kind of success they've had. So I picked out four or five of the top basketball programs. Duke's hard to get a handle on,
right,
because before Coach K got there, Duke wasn't that good.
No.
We used to have a UKIT. It was a University of Kentucky Invitational Tournament around Christmas. And what it was an opportunity for Coach Rupp to get two more victories. He never invited anybody that was any good to the UKIT. No. And one of the teams we played when Mike and I were at UK in the UKIT was Duke. So it's hard to get a read. But I think it's interesting that Shire's been able to go out and recruit these guys, these top guys, with the idea that Coach K won't be there any longer. So
right,
we'll see what kind of success he has.
I can really appreciate the fact that he's still trying to use the momentum of the Duke brand while it's still there and moving it towards his own, you know, his own regime. I like, because he could just lay down and die, and a lot of guys could sit there and go, no, Coach K, I'm not coming. He's still going, I'm going to sell the Duke brand, I'm going to keep things rolling, and we're going to continue being the Duke that everybody expects us,
right,
to be.
Right, and we'll see if that happens. And conversely, I wonder how Coach K is going to handle this. Is he going to be around the program? Is he going to be around the university? Didn't I read where he got a $1 million contract to be something,
right,
at the university?
Like an advisor, yeah.
But I wonder if he'll be around the basketball program, which leads me to another school that I would look at, and that was North Carolina. And a lot of people might not realize this, but North Carolina was North Carolina before Dean Smith ever got there.
Yes, indeed.
They had Frank McGuire, who won an NCAA championship. And so, unlike Shire, Dean Smith is walking into a situation where there had been, excuse me, unlike Coach K, Dean Smith walked into a place where they had some success. And unlike what I think Coach K is going to do, Dean Smith stayed right there. He retired as a coach after he won two NCAA tournaments, but he had the same office. They hired Bill Guthridge to take his place, and Dean Smith's still in the building. And so Guthridge didn't have North Carolina type success. And if he was replaced by Matt Doherty, who had no success, and then they finally got out, went out and got Roy Williams,
right,
who even had more success as far as winning NCAA championships,
than Dean Smith did, because Roy won three.
Right. Yeah, I mean, they poaching Roy basically saved that entire program from going downhill any further than it had to. So let me ask you this conversely again, just eyeballing it right now, who do you think has a better, you know, term, Davis or Shire?
I think it's Shire, because it looks like to me he has continued, as you said, it's going to continue to be Duke. Now, if he messes up and doesn't win, those five-star recruits will disappear pretty quickly. But you look at Hubert Davis, I don't hear any buzz on the players. Now, Hubert's got a pretty good team coming back. He did lose the one big guy to Auburn, was it? Is that where he went? Kessler. But I haven't heard this big buzz about the new players that Hubert's getting like I am Shire at Duke.
Now, let me ask you this also. Do you think there's something wrong with the idea of we want a North Carolina guy or we want a Duke guy, like keeping it in the family? Or do you think they would have been better served going out and getting somebody from a different school and trying to poach them away?
I like the idea of staying within the family. I really do. If it works out, I mean, we'll have to see how Shire does. Obviously, staying in the family with Guthridge and Matt Doherty didn't work out very well until they went and got Roy. But in these two cases, who else are you going to get? Who are you going to go if you go outside the family? Who are you going to have come in and take over your program? I think for appealing to the fans, I think they both did the right thing staying within the family.
Right, but if you're also the Blue Bloods, because I consider I believe there's only in my mind four or five Blue Bloods. If you're a Blue Blood, you have to go after the two white whales that are never coming, but you may as well give it a shot in Mark Few at Gonzaga, say, hey, come over to the ACC, come over to the brand. And you also, before he went and did the Celtics, administrative job, you go after a guy like Brad Stevens, seen as, this second coming of, Jesus, the guy who's going to save every program ever. I think those would be the two big guys you go after, and I think you could at least make a case that you can get them. But you're right. Staying in the family seems very on brand for these two programs because they're so prestigious in their own minds and in their own right. So it makes sense to me that they would do this. I'm intrigued to see how it works, and I don't love the idea of somebody like Coach K sticking around, because if I'm coming in, if I'm Shire, I'm going to go, look, Mike, this is my thing. I'm doing it now. Yep. If I want your help, yep, I will ask.
See, that exactly. And that's a great point. And I'm sure Coach K will be available if he needs some advice or needs some help. But to keep an office, to keep your old office like Dean Smith did, that's ridiculous.
If you want to leave, then leave. But if you want to stick around, if you want to hang out of the program, then coach the damn team.
Right. Exactly. Let's talk about another school that I picked out, has a great basketball reputation, they didn't stay in the family. They went out and got family, and that's Indiana. And much, much like the success that North Carolina had before Dean Smith, a lot of people don't realize that Indiana had success before Bobby Knight, too. Branch McCracken won two NCAA championships before Knight got there. Branch McCracken's big fall down was he didn't sign Louis Dampier to his scholarship when Adolph Rupp did.
That seems like a little bit of a problem there. Louis ended up being kind of good.
He offered Louis to be a walk-on and coach. Of course, Branch McCracken had the two NCAA championships. Bobby Knight, 24 NCAA appearances and three NCAA championships. But you talk about a dumpster fire. Since Bobby Knight left, I mean, it's just been one bad choice after another. You can go right down the line. Mike Davis, Kelvin Sampson, Tom Crean, Archie Miller. But now they've gone back to the family in Mike Woodson. But much like Hubert Davis, I don't hear any big buzzes about all the great players Indiana's signing.
But I will say quickly, because I'm going to hit the music in a minute here, Mike Woodson has done all the right things thus far. He is basically the entire roster of IU went into the transfer portal, and Mike Woodson was able to talk all of them off the ledge and bring pretty much everybody back. So I have to think, you know, at least on the paper grade, I like what Mike Woodson has done.
Okay.
As we've mentioned, the paper grade doesn't mean all that much when it comes to game time, so we will have to see. But right now, sight unseen, no games played, I will give Mike Woodson the benefit of the doubt.
Okay, that's fair enough. Are we getting close to the end here? Because I have two more legendary college programs.
I think we save those for a rainy day, and I say, I'm going to hit the music, and I'll let you sign off.
Okay. The two schools that I have left are Louisville and Kentucky, so that'll be a fun discussion for another day. Process, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much, sir.
Always do a good job. I can't believe you put in as many hours here as you put in.
Some days, neither can I.
Did I just see Jack Crean make an appearance?
Yeah, he wanted to talk to you about Lamar Jackson's flip into the end zone.
he has sobered up since Saturday.
Yes.
I'm sure it took him a while.
It did. From the way he was talking, it sounded like he was a couple of vodka lemonades in.
All right. Well, thank you all for listening. This has been Sports Talk with Mike Pratt and Dan Issel on ESPN Louisville.
Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases, tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
CardNation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.